Again, hello everyone. We've got a good crowd at Cymbeline, and I want to apologize again for what happened last week. It was nothing we caused, through no neglect or any awareness of us. Like a lot of things happening in the world today, our online call page was hacked, and the call service decided to suspend it all to protect us. My goodness, there is a sound, and I don't know what that is.
Glenda, I think we'll have to debug that with the company, because I believe that is, you know, people coming online. We're hearing that ring. I don't think when they're muted,
okay,
they'll hear that. I don't think the callers actually don't hear it. Yeah.
And hopefully it won't record. Yeah. All right. Well, we're just glad to have it, if that means we've got more people coming on board. Nancy, how are you today?
I am wonderful. I really am. I am just having a wonderful Sabbath. It's really, truly been restful and beautiful and rejuvenating. So it's been an extraordinary day to just go within. And sometimes on Sunday, it's a little bit crazy for us with lots of family. But today, it's really quiet. So I'm excited about our time. I've been looking forward to the 3 o'clock hour, and especially the subject matter. But yeah, and just love being together with everybody. I'm doing well. How are you feeling?
I get a little better every day, but I've got a little more ways to go. So everybody, hold me in your prayers, because I've got to be full strength to get back to writing and editing this fantastic book that's coming out. It seems to have just fallen onto a 6-lane highway, and all kinds of cars are driving around it. But it's going to make it, and we're not far. We're not far from completion. I just have to finish my last revision and get it off to our two wonderful, or three wonderful editors. We've got three extremely skilled people in editing, and one of them is your favorite, Nancy. So expect to get busy, Nancy.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, I want to introduce what we're doing tonight and why we are doing it. We only managed to get 8 people on board last week, and that's a smidgen compared to how many people usually arrive. This is a very important topic, so I did not want to just let it sweep under the carpet. And also, the recording did not turn out very well because we were coping with situations as we went through the whole thing, and my voice was pretty bad. It's still a little bit on the non-ideal side, but it's okay. And Nancy's here. Nancy's going to read for us again, and I will probably intercept at times to give highlights of my experience and my understanding that I've gained through the years of teaching this subject. You know, that's how the Keys of Yeshua came about. It didn't start from anything different. It started from the same original conversation with Yeshua. But added to that were all the students that came to study through the years with their questions and his additional answers to them, which fortunately were recorded or written down by me. So that's how the Keys of Yeshua came about. I noticed from comments that I received that this is turning, the chapter on the adamantine particles is turning out to be perhaps the most favorite chapter we've covered. And I think it's partly because it's the one that we engage with most directly in life. It's how we build our life. It's everything from our food to the air we breathe. The energy of healing, the energy of creation, and even the energy of prayer that we breathe forth. So I just say hello to everybody coming on board. I know you're here because we heard you. And welcome, welcome. But getting back to this, I would suggest that everyone read the whole chapter of In Love Without End, chapter 5, called The Adamantine Particles. There's a lot of material there that I did not feel that I could hold together easily in a short frame of time without getting too complicated. So I chose the pieces that I felt pertain to the overall meaning of Love Without End, his welcoming of us to this magnificent universe and helping us to understand how it works. So, also, as I just mentioned before, the way the keys of Yeshua came to be, the way it came to be, resulted in a whole new chapter on the adamantine particles. So read that chapter in the keys of Yeshua. That will give you that little extra more that you're wanting. And we take up some very interesting topics, especially in the keys of Yeshua, because that reflected the many questions that students had asked about it and his response to them. So it becomes better and better every time we move through this information a little bit more. But what I'm hoping to achieve today is a little bit of a retread on what you would have missed last week, as much as we can. And then the main goal after that is to put together the three major pillars of creation. Love, the one spirit, and the adamantine particles. And when we put these together, I think you will see, you'll get a good look at least, at the architectural plan for this universe and how it is implemented in every new epoch, every new stage of growth or evolution, and in every life that lives within it. These pillars are present. And so I think it's really important to do a slight review of all of them after completing this chapter and then putting them together. So, Nancy?
That's a great idea. I love that.
I would be so blessed if you would begin our reading for today.
I'd love to. I love this chapter. I love this information. I could read it over and over again. So, okay, let's just all get centered and be together and ready to receive this beautiful message and this incredible information. Ah, I'm going to take a deep breath.
Yes.
So Glenda speaking, and she says, as we open the subject of physical nourishment, he reminded me that love is the most important factor in receiving whatever we eat. And here Yeshua says to Glenda, remember, love controls the adamantine particles. Always receive with love, for it is the love that instructs the food on how to nourish your body. Bless the food and thank the givers and preparers of it. Your love will be attuned to the energy frequency your heart has set for your body and will properly instruct your body on how to use the nutrients. For better nutrition, strengthen your heart. A strong heart establishes a higher frequency for bodily functions and establishes a lower resistance for energy utilization. This is not only more efficient, but also facilitates the replication of mineral frequencies for the manufacture of vitamins. I don't know if you wanted to say something there, but
wow.
I asked Gary this morning about what do you think he meant by lower resistance for energy utilization? And we kind of got into that about the actual, maybe there's something in the food that's resisting us utilizing the benefits of it. I don't know, but I'm sure you have some thoughts on it.
Well, I do. And actually, you've probably read on many lists of ingredients in supplements that bio-piperine is added to increase absorption and availability. Now, why would we need to add that if we were accepting all of these nutrients? You see, our body has a defense mechanism that is complex, brilliant, and profound, and it doesn't let just anything in. That's the bottom line. Even good things that it's not familiar with, it will push away and just excrete them through our bodily elimination. This is one of the reasons that if you can get vitamins and minerals through plants and fruits and nuts, all the better, because your body is familiar with those and does not normally resist them unless it has some autoimmune resistance that might be associated with an allergy. It accepts food much more easily than it does some human concoction. Even if that concoction is made of all natural ingredients, nothing fake about it, but still to the body, it's like, well, what tree did that grow on? I don't get it. Better to let go of it. And really, that's how our body responds to many concoctions of vitamins and minerals. So if we can get the minerals through water, great. If we can get the vitamin C through fruit is excellent. But actually, I'll drop in a little piece of new science here. And that is, we don't always get vitamin C through fruit or vegetables. Sometimes we actually can get it from oil-rich foods. And this increases the bioavailability of vitamin C. It's called liposomal vitamin C. It's the molecules and the essence of vitamin C is encased in a lipid encasement that the body will readily take. I don't have the answer personally to why it will take, but I can give you some very interesting information for you. If you've ever taken mega doses of vitamin C, and then as a after effect, you hit the bathroom and you might have had the runnies for 2 or 3 hours, if that's ever happened to you, okay, it's not that the vitamin C caused it. What happened is your body could only absorb a certain amount of acidic vitamin C, and it had to throw away the rest. So all it was doing was quickly throwing away what it could not absorb.
Yeah, amazing? I've always heard that as bowel tolerance, that you hit bowel tolerance where you can't take anymore.
Can you imagine having limited bowel tolerance for vitamin C? Well, one of the first people to ever discuss this was Linus Pauling, because he was doing major research in how vitamin C could be the cure for many deadly diseases. and he would give vitamin C injections, high dosage, as many as 30,000 milligrams. As long as it was intravenous, the body had no problem accepting it, and people would have just amazing curative results from that. Well, for some reason that I don't know, I'm sure there are scientists out there that know it. So look it up online if you want to carry your curiosity further. But the body has the ability to receive at least 3,000 milligrams of liposomal vitamin C with no resistance whatsoever. No need to throw it off, which means you can get a dose of vitamin C that may not be great enough to cure cancer, okay, but it could probably blow off the common cold. And I suggest that you get some liposomal vitamin C just for that reason, because you can take more without rejection. And it's the rejection that causes the problem. The same with food that's not quite so fresh. It may not be poisoned yet. It may not have gone through that stage. But your body detects something that's not quite so fresh. And you'll run to the bathroom. Your body's throwing it off. Now, you might throw it up, but usually that's when it's really bad. But you might throw it off from the ground level portals and just get rid of it. So your body does resist what it doesn't feel is right for you. Your body is smart. And actually one of the smartest parts of your body is your gut. Yep, I'm sorry, it is. Your brain is brilliant for what it was created to do, but there are lots of things your brain just doesn't pick up. It's just not aware of. I mean, it could look it could ask you to smell something, think about it, and say, okay, that's good. Gets to your gut, and it's in the toilet. You know, your gut won't accept what's not good for you. So if you're having problems in your digestion, I would seriously reevaluate your food. There's something there your body's not liking. Okay, Nancy, let's go on.
Okay, and I do love that he told us to receive it with love. At one point, I would love to hear from the community just how over the years, knowing this information, how we've changed how we bless our food and the prayers we offer, because, boy, you know, that's pretty powerful right there, how he starts everything. But let's continue.
Oh,
he says, apparently we,
foods.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently we have the innate ability to manufacture a great many more vitamins and mineral frequencies than is currently possible. It is the lower frequency of our heart that is leaving us undersupplied with self-made nutrients. I asked him about the chemical problems I was encountering with my own diet. Yeshua says, all of this will take care of itself when your energy frequency is high enough to manufacture what you need. Your body's energy level is too low right now to provide everything for you without support and compensation. Directly receiving sunlight at sunrise or sunset will actually help increase your frequency levels. Whenever you do this, your body chemically responds and helps it to manufacture certain nutrients your energy level is otherwise too low to produce. Chemical resonance equals energy frequencies and vice versa. Actually, much of the value of hard mineral traces in your bodies is the energetic matrix generated by them. The sun can provide this directly, for it contains both the substance and the fire of every mineral available in your solar system.
Wow. Whew.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a wow.
That's a big one.
It really is. I think another thing that was a gift and a blessing about strengthening the heart, forgiveness, innocent perception, but watching the sunrise and the sunset. What a wonderful gift that he gave us that. I mean, to say.
That's great. And, you know, for those who are really worried about UV rays and the damage they could cause on the skin, you can still get all the minerals and vitamins at sunrise and sunset without the harmful UV rays. That's why he sent you there at that time of day. And the same is true pretty much on cloudy days. Not if it's real thin clouds, but clouds will give us a nice cover that still allows you to receive the healing rays of the sun. And I would suggest that you enjoy those days because they can bring you great benefit. And the sun is still providing even under that little cover. And I think this is a good time also to bring up again something we mentioned last time, and I don't know if it'll come up extemporaneously again, but it had to do with the longevity of humans that was described in the book of Genesis. Sometimes we think, oh, this must just have been, they were just on a different calendar system. They couldn't have lived to be 900 years. No way. Okay, or that part was just fiction. You know, well, there's no fiction in the Bible, none. And get that out of your mind. Now, there may be parables, yes, that are valuable for teaching. Yeshua used parables constantly. And was he referring to real people in those parables? Possibly or possibly not. But he was referring to real situations that were valid and relevant to the lesson he was providing. So there was no fiction, just sometimes, well, I can tell you as a teacher, I will bring stories in that get the point across better than my plain words could do. And I think any teacher has learned to do that. So certainly the greatest teacher of all time would have done that. But as for getting back to the longevity, now, this is something that is definitely confirmed by science. What there's still a lot of debate about between the scientific research and the the biblical conservatives, okay, is when was man created? You know, the scientists are saying man was created millions of years ago, or at least the prototype for humans were created millions of years ago. And the Bible advocates are saying, no, it was only just a few thousand years ago. Well, the fact is we really don't know. That calendar is not put in the Bible. But it is relevant to what we're talking about right now because we know scientifically that the Earth at one point in time had a mantle of water. I mean, there were literally megatons of water held in the stratosphere that gave a clear channel to the sun, a rich supply of oxygen and hydrogen, and also a prismatic conveyance of sunlight. And at one point in time, that mantle was broken. More than likely, at least from a scientific perspective, it was broken by volcanic eruptions that spewed more volcanic particles into the stratosphere than the atmosphere could hold. Others contend that there were platelets shifted on the Earth that changed the gravitational field of the planet to where it could not hold that mantle where it was. And according to these same scientists, when that mantle fell, we would have had a rain like this Earth has never seen, a rain that would have produced massive flooding and actually sunk a lot of land underwater, because it would have brought the coastline up perhaps as much as 20 feet globally. And that could have taken a lot of inhabited places underwater. So we still have lots of arguments going on about the timeline on those events. But the fact that the events happened is actually undisputed. In the Bible, of course, it was the rain that flooded for 40 days and the earthquakes that happened and the killing out of life. So it's actually recorded in the Bible, but not just in the Bible, in almost every other sacred text of all the different religions around the world, that flood is renowned. And so it's really unlikely that there was just a breaking of the dam on some big lake of water that caused the flood to be locally in the, the West Asian parts of the Earth. It was probably global, whatever it was. And I think the scientists are pretty close, much closer, except the Bible students don't like their timeline because their timeline upsets everything. Anyway, getting back to what I'm leading to is that at that point in time, so much of the Earth was filled like an oxygen balloon. And that much oxygen with just enough hydrogen, CO2, to produce life and keep it alive could have easily extended the years of humans, easily, by centuries. And then you add to that the fact that all of the plants, the trees, the fruits, the nuts, everything from the land would have been able to not only support us with nutrition, but really truly be our medicine. So it was more than likely a very, very different world that we nostalgically look back on as the Garden of Eden. Where was it located? If you're following me right now, and this includes many nods of the head from Yeshua without him going into he's not ready to go into detail on that. I think he's holding that for future revelations. But I get nods of the head. I think the Garden of Eden was global. I don't think it was just around the Tigris-Euphrates. Of course it was there for those who eventually wrote the book. But I think it was global. I think it was when the whole earth was covered with this veil of water that provided and crystallized from itself all the nutrients of the sun, gave them all to the earth, and it was so rich and plentiful. There was almost no need for death. People mm-hmm. just lived infinitely long and infinitely well. And will we have that again? I believe so. I don't have a clue how it will happen, but I suspect that it will happen by lifting the vibrations of the earth, which is exactly what Yeshua mentioned here in this passage that Nancy just read you, where he said, all of this will take care of itself when your energy frequency is high enough to manufacture what you need. Your body's energy level is too low right now to provide everything for you without support and compensation. That's a very, very important passage to help balance out our utopian hope for return to Eden instantly. I have been very, very blessed since my stay in the hospital with oxygen therapy. And the benefits I've received from it make me think, oh, wow, what if I could just do this every day of my life? And I did some reading, and I found, actually, it would be a very bad thing for me because just like lots of foods that we resist, we can only take in so much oxygen without its complementary factors such as CO2 and hydrogen and nitrogen and all the other little elements of healthy air, or we'll actually get damage in our hypothalamus, brain damage, heart damage. So don't go out and buy yourself an oxygen toy. And it may, I've actually resented for years the fact that so many holistic practitioners had their homes and offices raided by the FDA, taking away their oxygen equipment, thinking, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing, nothing. And the FDA was overstepping their bounds, but not entirely without good reason, because if some of these machines got in the hands of the wrong person and misapplied, it could kill you. So they weren't entirely wrong. They were just, as usual, overly aggressive about interfering with human rights. And we do, and so I asked the question, okay, maybe it can be harmful if misapplied, but why isn't there more research going on to make it safe? Why not that? Well, you can't do it because the FDA prohibits it. I am so glad that some of that force and drama may come to an end where we can actually apply natural, healthy science to exploring better avenues of human healing. And
we're here.
And not just, yes. It's out there, and we have not been permitted to explore the good ways just because a few of the bad ways were damaging. You know, we have been victimized as a human race by those who seize power for no good reason. Seizing power, maybe, that's necessary, but not for no good reason. It should be for a very good reason. And then balanced out with opportunities for exploring better ways. Because, you know, I asked my doctor about, can I do this oxygen therapy every day? And the answer was, as long as you're using the headgear we give you, because it will mix with other air in the room. What a simple solution. What a simple solution. And I sleep like a baby. And that's just one little example of how perhaps a more beautiful natural environment will allow us to avoid many of the deadly diseases we have now, will help us to receive nutrition with fewer calories. How about that? Will help us to receive bursts of energy without hitting the sugar box, okay? Or eating more fat. How about natural nutrition that was created to make us whole? Well, the fact is, my friends, you are made of adamantine particles. Every cell in your body is nothing but adamantine particles with a goodly portion of spirit and another goodly portion of love. Everything about you is made of love, spirit, and adamantine particles. So why wouldn't your body know what to recognize that it needs? It only makes sense to me, my friends. It only makes sense to me that if we took the lid off and put our intelligence, our love, and our spirit into utilizing this storehouse of adamantine particles, we could find everything from nutrition to medicine that we have ever needed. And maybe we won't have that mantle of water overhead again, but we will have other things that have not yet been discovered. I just read something just a few days ago about deep underwater discoveries added to deep underwater drilling. Now, not for oil, not for energy, just drilling to discover different levels of DNA, different levels of life potential. Well, they drilled into a strata that is about as large as the Atlantic Ocean. And that strata is made of a particular mineral, which I didn't write it down, and I'm sorry for that. But you're going to be hearing more about this. So this is just scratching the surface. This is not going away. And what I'm telling you is not mythology. It's there. There is a strata of underground, and I mean literally underground, not just at a lower depth of water, but it's literally underground, and it's composed of a mineral that is capable of holding up to 100 times its particle weight in water. And it's already as big as the Atlantic Ocean. This strata of underground water could renew all the waters of the earth. That's a treasure that our earth holds for us. So keep that in mind. God's miracles, God's wonders are full of grace and without limit. We really don't know what he might have in store for us. The best thing for us is to live in faith and move forward with the best we can do in all things. Now, Nancy, I'm going to turn it back to you, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay. So following the discussion about the sun, Yeshua says, diet is relative in very many ways, where it supports the love which precedes and surrounds it. Different seasons, different ages, different health conditions, and different altitudes can affect the whole process. Nevertheless, as your heart grows stronger, it will direct you in this. Just as the birds know which seeds to eat, your heart will attract you to the food you need. Your heart will assist you in processing the food according to what your body actually requires. Until you have a more complete understanding of dietary function, I would recommend that you use moderation in all things and direct it with gratitude and love. Glenda asked, is it wrong to eat meat? Yeshua responds, eventually mankind will eat little or no meat. However, at this time, most people need some meat to be healthy, and it should never be eaten with a sense of guilt. In the presence of guilt, your love cannot direct and refine the process of nourishment. The food chain is a fact of life that has been agreed upon by all life forms for the duration of its necessity. Many life forms have chosen that for their loving service. It is a fact to be accepted, to be honored, and never to be abused. In ancient times, when man lived closer to the earth and perceived the one spirit more clearly, this was better understood. and more fully honored. Until a deeper understanding is rekindled, all that I can ask for is more kindness, gratitude, and moderation to be shown toward those who share their lives with you. In the Western world, far too much meat is being consumed. This is overloading the body with electrical charge and suppressing sensitivity toward the one spirit and the magnetic attractions of the heart. There is no coincidence that excess consumption of meat is having its heaviest consequence and damage to the physical heart. Second to overconsumption, the other great offense against animals is the manner in which they are raised for slaughter in loveless quarters. This is unconscionable and is leaving a bitter legacy in the adamantine particles of nature. Moreover, the food resulting from it is depleted in every conceivable way. The entire science of kosher cooking, which Moses taught, was based on an understanding of such factors. For example, one of the rules of kosher cooking is that veal should never be cooked with milk. Veal is the meat of a calf, and milk is the essence of its mother's love. The substance of the mother's life should never be combined with the slaughtered body of its child. It is a dishonoring of the love. That was the entire reason for it. All the laws of kosher cooking have their roots in similar correlations of love and nourishment. Unfortunately, much of that wisdom has been lost and replaced with dogmatic formulas. As with much ancient wisdom, the structures remain and the elixir of truth has evaporated. A true understanding of the relationship between food and love could revolutionize health. However, don't forget what I told you about sunlight. To watch the sun in the morning and the evening, because watching the sun can actually set your physical, ethereal, and spiritual hearts into a harmonic resonance, which will attract what you need and process what you have more perfectly. Doing this will improve your experience of the day, as well as your energy, your nutrition, and your sleep. For adamantine particles are the river of life, connecting heaven and earth. And that is the end
thank
of
you.
It. And boy, there's a lot of good stuff there.
You read beautifully, Nancy. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I could not have read it so well. And I enjoyed hearing it being read to me. It was kind of like the way he said it to me originally. So, you know, I think if you get together with family or groups, it's a good thing to do a reading to each other instead of each person just reading silently, because there's something about that level of connection that conveys so much wisdom. But I want to summarize now. We've got a little bit of time. We need to be finished by 4, and we've got a little bit of time to put together the adamantine particles with love and with the one spirit. And I want to start with something may almost seem at first counter intuitive to you by passing on questions I have received frequently from students in seminars or online. And they would ask me, they would say, Glenda, you know, it seems to me going through life, love is just not enough. And I would think very carefully to that and prayerfully and kind of direct my attention to the one who knows, hoping that he would convey something through me to words. And what has always come forth is very simply, for God, love is all there is. And so it's more than enough. But he laid his spirit upon all potential for existence. All potential for existence. And thereby instructed his spirit to extend like a blanket through everything. In the Bible it is said several times, by my spirit all everything was created. And it is from his spirit that everything was created. But what was the fuel which impelled it? Love. Love was the fuel that impelled there to be, to move his spirit like breath upon the waters. He, it's almost as if he breathed everything into existence. And that breath was spirit. And as he breathed spirit into existence, it awakened within the substrata of existential potential, which is more than we can even describe, much less understand. He awakened and called forth the firmament. And the firmament is the substance from which everything could be created, meaning all of the adamantine particles. All of them were called to life from this substrata of potential. And with that strata of potential, all of reality began to be created, began to emerge. It emerged as, in the beginning, just light. Let there be light. It emerged as different areas of light affecting creation, which was called the dark and the light. Different frequencies of energy, of minerals, of basic potential, all described as elements of the firmament. And then that becoming other strata of what we, looking upon it, call reality. The earth is a reality, of course. And the different minerals are realities unto themselves, of course. And then we, as humans, we conduct our life and we build our life out of that which we consider to be real, which would include our bodies, of course, the various functions that we do upon the earth. And so almost everything that we know is composed of one level of reality or another, all the way into what we call the world. The world being, well, could be as simple as the clothes on your back, the house you live in, the streets you drive on, the grocery stores you visit, all the infrastructures that you depend on, the food supply, the friends, the family, all of that belongs to the world. And it is a very complex reality that has come about through many, many stratas of creation. All of these stratas of creation were called forth by nothing less than love. Love called them all forth. and love is in everything. And the first pair of gloves that love put on to create with its own essence was the spirit. It created with spirit because spirit embodies consciousness. It's a very, very important element of spirit that affects your life more than any other form of spirit. Not even the air you breathe, because the air you breathe is all adamantine particles. Your consciousness is the purest form of spirit you know. And it was, if we say this in other words, basically what we're saying is, by the consciousness of God, everything was created. By love, everything was impelled into existence, and by his consciousness and the plan of creation and organization, everything was created. So by his spirit, everything was created. And then the adamantine particles were called forth, and they were put into a different compositions of unity, togetherness, particles, atoms within particles, frequencies of energy, one building upon another, until every constituent part of this universe is literally put together. So, now we are in the down phase of all of that. Even though we were created parenthetically, and by parenthetically I mean the before and the after, like a set of parentheses around a sentence, we were created to hold within us the image of God. And within that we were made to be love, which is the origin of all things. So parenthetically, humanity created was the end point of the cycle. Naturally, we look back through this whole cycle of creation as if we're looking through filter upon filter upon filter upon filter. So, obviously, we can't go from a situation to the end point of it always being immediately love. Sometimes the first thing we need to do is just be conscious of the fact that there is a situation. In other words, bringing forth our consciousness. And that was why we were left by Christ before he ascended, with the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us. Now, a lot of people ask me, they say, Glenda, well, what's the difference between Spirit and Holy Spirit? Okay. There's a difference between you and your breath. If your breath could be captured and put into an electron microscope or other extremely sensitive device, it could decode the whole essence of you, your DNA, your fingerprint, how tall you are, everything about you. It could recreate just like a hologram. But is it you? No, it's not. It's just your breath. Well, like unto that, God poured forth his consciousness into all of creation. But is it God? No, it isn't. Don't talk to it as if it's God. It's okay to cast your affirmations and your prayers into the universe, and your positive energy, your songs, your praise and glory, your worship. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But don't pray to it, because it's not God. His integrity, His honor, His glory requires that you pray to Him. He is the source of the Holy Spirit. He is the holy part of the Spirit. The rest is His breath. And the holy part of the Spirit is literally Him. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, whether it's just for daily conversation or a resurrection of your life, either way, you are entering the presence of God, the Creator, who can imbue your consciousness with everything it needs, can heal your body, can redirect your life, because you are literally in the presence of God. And that's the Holy Spirit. Is the rest of God? Of course. By His Spirit, He created everything. So enjoy it. Celebrate it. Give it praise and acknowledgement. Be grateful. I could continue assigning all the positive attributes of what you can do. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, receive it with honor. You have been graced in that moment with a communication, a very, very special communication. Now, given the idea that love is God's and love created everything, can your presence with the Holy Spirit make you well? Absolutely. Can it take you to restored realms of perfection within yourself? Totally. Can it bring you to new heights of understanding, more than you could even imagine? Can it speak through you? Yes. Can it create through you? Yes. Can it live in you? Yes. When you know the difference, at first it might be a little scary to think, oh, would I be up for that? But you won't even think about it when it happens. You won't even know it, because God is already in you. God breathes life into you, His life, and you will simply recognize the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God coming home. It will be the most comfortable, loving, wonderful experience ever. Nothing to be afraid of. You're not going to blow apart, dissolve apart. You might fall down in a chair, because you might literally lose the feet under your body, but that's about the worst of it. The rest is just going to be a glorious moment that's filled with light and transformation. And you will, well, I would say you will be the same person if you're talking about the real person. But if you're talking about all the manufactured layers of yourself, you may lose some of those. They may go away. Okay, now that I have built this great platform to work from, when someone is having an issue with you, or you're having an issue with life, and you're finding love isn't enough, maybe it is. How about let's saying that it is? But it has to work a little bit to get there. It's not just a magic door you open. it's what's in you that will cause you to, first of all, recognize a situation, maybe understand that situation a little better, then have the courage and the clarity of thought to talk about it, to have a conversation, and identify the reality and where the reality has broken down and it's not functioning yet or as well as it once did. So, see, we go from recognition and communication into the observation of that reality. And as we reunite realities that have broken down, what is going to happen then? The restoration of love. So as a destination, love is all you need. It really is. As a destination. But it's not part of every step in the process. Sometimes we just have to confront what got messed up. We just have to confront people or ideas that have felt betrayed. We have to let them express themselves. We have to let, as the Beatles song went, let it be. We just have to let it be for a while and reveal what needs to come next. So, yes, love is always enough because it's the destination, but it's not always the process, and there's the difference. It's not always the process. As a matter of fact, I have noticed that if you skip some layers of the process, some people will not trust you. They will think you're moving too fast into a situation, and they're not ready to be loved. They don't like it. They feel you've actually crossed boundaries. It could be just as simple as you get a little too friendly with the neighbors when they've already decided not to like you. What maybe needs to happen is just wave when you back the car out of the driveway and smile and drive on down the road. Let them get used to the fact that actually you do live there. And let them get the fact, get used to the idea that, hey, you know, you're not a bad neighbor. It takes time, my friends. And we have to cultivate the patience. Now, where does that patience come from? It comes from faith. It is from our faith that we are, first of all, brought into the consciousness of God within us. That we are brought into the consciousness of God as a power that can approach us, comfort us, give us guidance, wisdom, heal us, and direct us. And as this happens, love will blossom again. It's always been there, but it gets deadened and filtered out by the many layers of unworkable reality that we lay upon it. So, you can't always go to the forefront of a battle with love. You keep love as your target. And as you go along, look for revelations of goodness. Maybe in the beginning, you're the only one waving at the neighbors driving out of the driveway. And then maybe a few weeks from later, they're waving back at you. That's a sign of goodness, my friends. That's a sign of goodness. You have the yard men over and they're working on your lawn. And you notice that right next to your lawn, the neighbors could use a little touch up because they didn't get all the way to the curb, and you tell your lawn man, go and cut that for them, okay? And they come home and they see that and they think, well, gee, that's not such a bad neighbor after all. Little signs of goodness. If you go through Genesis, you'll find the culmination of every stage of creation, whether it was one day or one epoch, we're not sure. Because we're not exactly sure of the language. I can tell you one thing for sure. It wasn't written in English. And it went through many translations before it got to us, which means many, many layers of reality were stacked on top, one on top of another. But I feel totally certain that the culmination of each day was an acknowledgement of its goodness. Okay? And that goodness is possible in everything. I recommend it to you in all, everything you do, all things you do, all thoughts you have. As you go along through the process, whatever that may be, look and see if there are little signs of goodness at that point. If there are, keep going. If there are no signs of goodness, maybe reconsider. Ask for some prayerful guidance. Reformulate your direction. Make sure that love is your target. Love is always the right target. It's just not always the right process. And that's a really, really important discernment of wisdom for you. Because a misuse of love can actually cause fear. And people will pull back from you. That hug that lasts a little too long is not appreciated. A handshake would be much more appreciated. If that hug that lasts a little too long is to your 5-year-old daughter, you better believe you won't be put together with that 5-year-old daughter again. I hope you get what I'm saying, is that love is not the process. It's the goal. You gain people's trust, and they will give you goodness in return. Over 400 years, Christians gave trust to the Romans. No matter what the Romans did to them, they made themselves good citizens, and they helped to sustain the middle class of the Roman Empire, which was on its practically its last straw most of the time, because Rome was overdrawing the currency available for the middle class, the food supply, not to mention the men for battle. It was depleting the middle class and leaving on them with their last shred of food, over exploiting in general everything. The Christians kept them alive. And the emperor noticed. When he was about to lose at a battle, he prayed. And in his dream, he was shown the symbol of the cross. And he was told, by this you will conquer. He put that cross on every shield. And he did win the battle, but after the battle was over, he realized that was not the whole story. He was being told by the power of the Christians, you will survive as a nation. And he called together, give or take a few, 80 bishops from around the whole Christian villages of the Roman Empire. He had them all come together at this little town called Nicaea. And that's where officially the Christian church began. Because he said to them, he said, if you can all come together on a common reality that we know how to manage, as if Rome knew how to manage Christianity, really, give me a break. But that's basically what he said, because he wasn't giving up his power. He just wanted to have a productive alliance with the people who had saved the empire. Okay, a big, big step forward. And to this day, of course, the Roman Catholic Church is housed in Rome. It has, through the centuries, provided that extra measure of civilization and courage, love, and hope. And that's not to say they've always been perfect, because we're still human. But within that envelope of God's presence on earth, some of the noblest and the greatest people have lived and worked to bring our planet into a greater harmony and realization of life. So all of this really works together to say that the Alpha and the Omega of this universe is love. That's it. As long as you keep that as the source of your own being, which is the Alpha, and the Omega, which is your goal, you will get through the process. Now, the force that will take you through the process is the Spirit, whether it's just the Spirit of plant life or the Holy Spirit. It's okay. You're in a salad bar. Take samples of the earth. Take samples of creativity. Enjoy the Spirit wherever you find it. And most of all, be guided by the Holy Spirit. And as you move along, enjoy and study the many, many endless configurations of adamantine particles. This is where science comes in. And it's where it has done its best work. It's even trying to find the ultimate particle, which is not going to do by the methods it's using, because the ultimate particle is the particle that creates itself from spirit. And so science is going to have to change its methodology before it discovers it. But it knows it's there, and that's a big thing. It's a big thing because it knows that above and beyond all of these essences, whether it's the wood that makes up a piece of furniture, or the iron and steel that make up our buildings, it all originally came from a living essence within the electromagnetic field of existence that simply solidified as it took shape. And all of those shapes it took have created the cosmic material of the universe and the practical, useful material of the world we live in. And it's a three-legged table. I think in an interesting way, it's three-legged because, well, we're dealing with a trinity at the very beginning. The Father, the Spirit, and the Son manifested to be in guidance of the last article of creation, which is humanity. We got a ways to go, my friends. but we're getting there. And just stay on course. Keep love as your goal and accept all particles and all other essences as part of the process. They were all part of the process getting toward your creation. They're all part of the process of living. There are times when you just need to be still and quiet. Pray and know that God is with you. Yeshua told the apostles to go into a closet and pray. Well, in those days, people didn't have clothes closets. They didn't have food closets. Food was stored in jars or water. Everything else was laid about in the 1, 2, 3 room buildings or structures they lived in or tents they lived in. But a closet in those days was a small, quiet room that was set apart from the distractions of the street and the busyness of a household, where you could go and enjoy the quietness of yourself. Yeshua was so popular, so smothered with people begging every conceivable favor from him, he had to go out to the desert, far enough where no human could survive, just to get find his closet. And he would go there periodically because it's necessary. And I hope that you will take the time to get away, to be in spirit, and then be more mindful that the things you eat are alive. The things you spend your life doing are more alive. Just take a walk. Instead of plastic flowers, how about living plants in your house? How about pets or friends inviting the neighbors in or spending time talking across the fence? Get more life in your life. It will make a difference in everything. Now, we've come to the time where we need to celebrate that.
Absolutely. We are ready. We have a few callers, Glenda, if you would like me to open up the, we just have a few. I'm going to open up a line for you. Hi.
Hey.
415. Oh,
yes.
It's you.
It's,
hi, Caroline.
It's Caroline. Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me?
Are you there?
Caroline, we're so happy that you're here. And I need to be talking with you soon about the book. And
absolutely.
Other great,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's been a long haul for me.
I know that. Yeah. And I'm so grateful that you're back and that your sleep is good. And I really appreciated what you were saying about vitamin C and oxygen and all of that, because there's so many things that I hope will be available soon. You know, IV vitamin C, Paul Marek's program that really gets rid of all the people who end up having those incurable infections in hospitals, MRSA and all of that. One of my close relatives was a doctor in a hospital where they used that program, and nobody was dying from those that kind of thing, from sepsis. So there are some wonderful treatments out there that up till now have been blocked. Same with the ozone and IV ozone. I mean, I used that for when I was going through chemo, and I had virtually no side effects. It was amazing. Didn't tell the doctor, though, because she would not have approved, but it made a massive difference. And there was even a protocol for that to cure COVID that they were going to do a study for at the FDA, but because it was controversial and competing with what maybe pharma wanted to do, that study was shelved. But it would be great to see some of these things out in the open, these wonderful non-patentable cures that are so effective. I would like to ask for a couple of blessings here. Let me just get into the still. Can you still hear, guys?
Yes.
Good. So, first, very important blessings for both you and Dale. Any of these health challenges that have come up, I really would love Jeshua to solve them in a quick, easy, and painless way. I know we can't always get that, but it would be wonderful. And I know that that those things are around at the moment, and maybe the community is aware of some of these things that have happened. But I'm very, very grateful to see how much better you sound, Glenda, how much stronger, how wonderful your voice is again. It's music to my ears. That's the first blessing. And then the second blessing is more for my family, for my youngest son, not the doctor son. The youngest son is trying to bring, he works in his dad's company, my ex-husband's company, which has been extremely badly run, sadly, since I left it. A lot of really good people were fired. And he is trying to bring that company back from the red to the black. He's going to be taking the reins as director finally, and I would like the wind of Jeshua's sails behind him to help him make that better, make it work again, that he's successful. I know it's a very difficult road for him, but he needs some blessings to help him move forward with that. So that is my second blessing that I'm asking for today.
Okay. All right. I've got it etched in my heart.
Okay. And again, I think all of us in the community want to pray for the health of the people who've really worked so hard to put this Spiritus Church together to make it successful. So we need to really put our hands together and pray for that.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
That's wonderful.
Okay,
thank you,
well,
Caroline. Thank you so much.
Good to hear
we'll
you.
Be talking soon.
Yeah, and I love you all. I want to send love and light and good thoughts to anyone right now with health challenges.
Definitely. Me too. Thank you so much. We love you, Caroline. And we have Stormy here. Hi, Stormy.
Hello. I want to give an example.
Are you feeling better?
Yes, I am feeling 200% better.
Yay. Good.
In line with what you've been talking about with the adamantane particles, I have been tested many times by many people. I can hold any bottle of medicine or nutritional supplement in my hand that is outdated and has lost its potency. I hold it for 2 seconds, and I bring that bottle, whatever it is, I need not know, back to 100% potency. And the way that I do this is I go in between the adamantane particles, and that is how it is that I do these kinds of things. I go in between the adamantane particles. There's food for thought for you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, certainly. All right. You're always full of new ideas, Stormy. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you,
Stormy. We're gonna consider and work with that one. And we have 832 area code. Your line is open.
Hello. I'm sorry. I was muted. I didn't want to have some background noise there. This
Thank
is Christine.
You.
I haven't called in for a while. Are you able to hear me?
We are.
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I just wanted to start, as always, with immense gratitude. I'm so grateful that Glenda's doing better, and I listened to the call where she was in the hospital with you, Nancy, helping, and it was remarkable how her voice kept sounding stronger as she gave us her ideas, and it really helped my heart to feel stronger.
I agree.
So. So that is my first blessing, was for Glenda and in you, Nancy. And then my two little, I have no human children, so my children have four legs, and they're both going under anesthesia for dentals on Tuesday, and I would just love to request that Joshua stays with them through the entire experience and lets them feel safe and not afraid, and gets through the procedure with flying colors, and I would so appreciate that. And I had one question. I'm not sure if we have time for it, but last week Glenda said something about loving into a situation she didn't know what to do with, and it began to, once she sat and loved into the situation, she began to receive what to do. So I just wanted to know if you have time to just give me, what does it look like to love into something?
I think we're going to have to defer
go
that next week.
Okay.
That's that could be a long answer, but one thing I can relate to what I said today is that love is the alpha and the omega of anything, but not necessarily the process. So you start the process by putting love in the direction you want it to go.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
And then the how to do it will be revealed.
Okay. I'm getting an image of what that looks like. Thank you.
Good. All right. And that's great. Well, Nancy, I think we need to close our dialogue.
Thank you, Christina.
Right now.
Yes. Thank you, Christina. I'm going to close the board. There we go. We are free and clear. And thank you, Christina, and all our callers and the whole community for being here today. Glenda, we are ready to move forward.
We are. And Yeshua's here pacing the floor like, well, do you have to talk so much? Can't you just come to me in spirit? Pardon me. Okay, we are ready, but we need to shorten the time just a little bit. So I want each one of you, just if you can stand up. Move your body around, especially your torso. Turn it, twist it on your hips from right to left. Lift your arm, stretch out your shoulders. Step forward with your legs if you can. Or at the very least, move your foot a little bit. We want to get circulation down to your extremities. That would, of course, include your hands and your feet. And so as you pull it down to your extremities, it will draw it from stronger circulation through the rest of your body. And then get a little movement along your spine, a little bit forward, turning a little back, turn your neck, right to left and back, and not enough that you disturb your equilibrium, just a little bit of movement is all it takes to get your lymphatics moving, your blood circulating, and your air and your oxygen concentrating into your blood. So that's one of the reasons we precede our blessing with some deep breaths. So I want you to take a very inhale as deeply as you can. Fill your lungs. Spread your ribs. Pull your diaphragm down and hold it for a second or two. Okay, and then blow it out. Now this time we want to pull the air up through your sinuses. Inhale. Direct the air upward so it fills your sinuses. Hold it for a second or two and then blow it out. Now that you're in touch with all parts of your air circulation, just take a couple more deep breaths. Hold it and blow it out. All right. And now just relax. Head on your shoulders. Feet on the ground. I like the preferred position is sitting, because that will put your feet on the ground, which means you're making contact into the earth. And if you're wearing sneakers or athletic shoes, I would ask that you remove them, because that material that's humanly engineered, probably from petroleum, is going to scramble the energy coming up from the earth. Try to have natural fibers on your feet or touching the floor. And yes, of course, that's probably going to go through concrete or wood, but those will be far more natural than the soles on your Adidas. And just relax. Relax in your chair. If you need to lean back, that's okay. But have your head uncovered. Have the top of your head open. Unless your spiritual practice requires that it be covered, in which case, have it covered by a natural fiber, which would be wool, linen, cotton, silk, rayon is actually, if it comes from bamboo, is quite natural. Lovely. So let's don't scramble the energy coming into us. Now, just begin to engage with your normal breath, but see the giving and the taking and the pausing between breaths, that you give a breath, pause for it to be received. You take a breath, pause for it to be received by you. And then you give again and have it be received by the environment. And then you take and let this go through you like an exquisite cycle of life, which it is. And I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. Then the blessing givers and I will conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit, that grace and healing, love and bounty may fill your being. Dear Yeshua, we ask that your love and your grace, your exquisite presence, your wisdom, your understanding, and your light-filled presence be with us all, to keep us in the light, shining bright, to keep us in the flow of life, becoming all that it was created to be, and in the safe harbor of God's love. We ask that you are with each one present today, that you live in their hearts, that you secure and implement their blessing, that it may unfold appropriately in the hours and the days ahead. We ask that you be with everyone for whom they pray. and for all people in our human family. May we all be touched by your presence, that we may be more than we ever thought we could be and accomplish more for the will of God than we ever thought we could participate in. Receive the children, that they may sit on your lap, be hugged into your heart, and know that they are loved now and forever and are children of God. That they may grow up in happiness and good health, in peace and productivity for all the days of their life. We ask that you be with those who are ready to make their transcendence from this earthly realm to a realm in which they were created, that they may know again, once more, their perfection and the majesty of love which they were created in. We ask that you be our palace, which we call home, that you be our bounty, which we call wealth, that you be our guidance, which we call wisdom, and that you be our peace, which passes all human understanding, now and forever. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me in conveyance of the blessing? The blessing of your love, the grace of God, and the everlasting presence of the Holy Spirit. Let us begin. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, I want you to rest and take it all in. Lay outside just lay flat. Lay on your bed. Lay on a mat. Anywhere you can get horizontal so that the blessings and all points of circulation, whether air, lymph, blood, water, whatever, can be equalized throughout your body and serve to convey the blessing. At least 7 minutes, and it's okay if you fall asleep. I wish you great blessings for the rest of the day, all week, and forever. And I look forward to being with you again next Sunday. So, bye-bye for now, and God be with you.